All right, so it is 6 o'clock. We are ready to get this meeting open. Martin,
Okay.
Go ahead and open it up. We can do approval minutes and then I'll do my little roll call and some verbiage.
All right, we're going to open up Bend County Planning Commission meeting and January 6th, 6 o'clock, and we'll do this roll call.
Yep. Robert?
Present.
Brian?
Present.
Lloyd?
There.
Martin?
Present.
And Kelly is absent this evening. And then if you wanted to move on to the approval of minutes.
Right. So we have approval of minutes.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the minutes from the November 20, 2025 Planning Commission meeting be approved as submitted.
Okay, I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
It's passed. Let it show.
All right. I'm just going to read a little bit of things and then we'll hand it over to Greg and Adam for the evening. Okay. The Benton County Planning Commission is an advisory body to the Board of County Commissioners. Any recommendation made tonight by the Planning Commission will be referred to the Board of County Commissioners for a final decision. The meeting tonight is being conducted in both in-person and virtual platform and is being digitally recorded, and consequently, in order to obtain an accurate record of the proceedings, all individuals who wish to address the Planning Commission must be recognized by the chairman before speaking. All individuals must speak clearly into microphones provided, identify themselves by name and address. For those of you that are attending via WebEx, please make sure that your microphone remains muted until you are called upon to testify or make a comment. And please make sure that all cell phones are turned off. And Greg, it's all for you.
You ready?
All right, so go ahead.
Okay.
Open this up.
We'll start tonight with the countywide planning policies. That's our countywide planning policies are a framework that gives the cooperation agreement between cities and counties to lay out the policies that they're going to abide by in the development of their comprehensive plans. Our hope tonight, we did get you guys a copy of those late. We originally had hoped to get those out to you earlier. I know that you guys got those a little bit late. So I think what we would like to do tonight is just kind of postpone that to next month. We'll push that information out onto the website so the public can see it, have an opportunity to review it, and then come back again next month with looking for a recommendation from the Planning Commission to move on to the Board of Commissioners. A little bit of background on that. There's not a whole lot of changes. There was a few sections, and I kind of summarized that in my staff report if you guys want to look ahead. But the background is we've been working with the cities for approximately 8 months last year with our consultants, with the city's attorneys looking at it, and coming up with the framework and making those amendments to the countywide planning policies for this year's periodic update. The cities have each reviewed the policies. They don't have any substantive changes. They've all actually gone through their process and taken those to their respective councils, and they have resolutions adopting those as the form that they're in. So we're at a point now where we come back, we bring them to you guys, we look for a recommendation, and then we take that on to the Board of Commissioners for final approval. So that's kind of where we're at in terms of that process. It's been a long process to get those changes before you guys. So in terms of the comprehensive plan itself and the periodic update, the countywide planning policies is, you know, and the adoption of those and the cities and the county coming together with that, it's kind of always been the kind of the kickoff, I guess, to the periodic update process when the city and the county do that. So I know we have Adam from AGO here with us tonight. Him and Ben Floyd have been assisting us with the comprehensive plan, and Adam's going to go through a few of the sections and just kind of start that process. I know last year we did some high level reviews already on some of the stuff, But we'll have Adam here tonight. In terms of what we'll be doing at our shop, we're going to be updating our websites, working with Ben and Adam to kind of lay out a schedule for what this year is going to be looking like, so we can get that out to the public, when the public can start coming and providing additional input, when the SEPA and the EIS is going to be issued. And I do believe that we got another probably 45 days or so before that gets issued. And so, you know, all those things are going to involve an opportunity for the public to get involved and be a part of this. And so with that, we will, we'll be updating our county website and the comprehensive plan portion. We'll be having a thing put out on the county's main website. When people click on the county's main website, they can see that we're updating the comp plan. That'll push them off to our website, which will give them all the information that they're looking for. This last year, we did a lot of updates, as you guys know. I mean, we've been in the draft stage of a lot of different things and putting together a lot of drafts. And now this year, we're going to be able to push a lot of that stuff out to the public and out to you guys to review. So we're pretty excited about that. In terms of development regs, you know, the implementation of this zoning and subdivision regulations, as we move through this year and when we get the comprehensive plan under control and we start moving that through, we'll also be starting later this summer our development regulations that will implement a lot of that information. So it'll be a busy year. We're excited to have you guys, appreciate it. And if it's all right with you, we'll continue the countywide planning policies to next month.
Going to recommend that anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was an awful lot of information to try.
And like I say, you know, that a lot of that information has been, you know, the cities have agreed to it and they've reviewed it, but we do want you guys to have the opportunity to understand it and see what that framework is that we're going to have to play within with the cities as we go through the process. So
are we still going to do a overview with White Bluffs or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so with that, I would, if it's all right with you, I will introduce Adam Cares. Adam's a very, very important part of our consultant team. He and Ben have been carrying the water on a lot of this stuff for us. And I'll turn it over to Adam. He has a breakdown of different topics he'd like to go through with you guys tonight. And so I'll turn it over to him.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, as Greg mentioned, my name's Adam Cares. My company is ACGO, which consists of myself and my wife, Kara. And we are working in partnership with White Bluffs, assisting with this update. We generally specialize in the spatial analysis and mapping portion, but excited to have the chance to do some public presentation with you all tonight. I do have a PowerPoint presentation that I'd like to share just to kind of guide our discussion tonight. Looks like I need.
Is it not letting you?
Sorry. Nope, not right now.
Okay, 1 second.
Okay. All right, go.
It's working its way.
Okay, looks like.
There he goes. Permission. There you go.
Okay. That's and you guys are seeing my presentation, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. That's good. All right. So before I launch into some of the more nitty gritty stuff, I just wanted to give you all updates on things that we have touched on in previous meetings, but just to kind of give you some status updates. And then we're really going to go into a little bit more detail on two parts of the documents that you have in front of you, the land use element and specifically the proposed land use designation changes and the goals and policies and specifically the new ones relevant to climate and greenhouse gas emissions. Just a timeline. This was shared in the last time we presented. So we've just kind of moved the red indicator along a little bit. So as Greg mentioned, and as you've seen, we have a we have draft changes that we want to continue to get input and review on. We've done a lot of drafting, and not just drafting of the comprehensive plan text, but of a lot of work to support that. A lot of the spatial analysis and data analysis that backs up the changes that we're suggesting. And a lot of what I'm hoping to communicate to you tonight is how the background work we've done supports the text changes that we're suggesting. And then the EIS process is also coming along and should be a full draft EIS for review quite soon, kind of late winter, early spring timeframe. Okay, so run through my list of updates, and I'm going to try to go through these quickly. We can in future meetings spend more time circling back to these topics as they flesh out in more detail. But tonight I'm just going to kind of really try to refresh your memory and give you a status update on where we are with these things. So shrub step mitigation program as a part of the update to the critical area ordinance. We've done modeling of shrub step quality, where the best shrub step habitat exists, spatial priority, so where there are large contiguous blocks of habitat that facilitate broader wildlife movement, and then where the best parcels in the county exist to provide mitigation opportunities for shrub step impacts. We've created a draft program description that describes how the mitigation program would function in terms of impacts, causing credits to be purchased within the program, and then how those impacts would be mitigated on the kind of the debit side of the program. And then we had a mitigation work group kickoff in October, got some good feedback so far on that draft program description. We are still working on estimating 20-year shrub step impacts for both the county and the cities, and then still working to identify the entity that would hold and manage the easements to mitigation properties. Had a chance to talk to several land trusts, went into to pretty good detail with Blue Mountain Land Trust, but we're still working on determining who that entity ultimately will be to hold and manage easements. Agritourism. So we've kind of just scratched the surface on this and put together some priorities just in dialogue with county staff and the issues that they've seen repeatedly related to agritourism. And we have formed kind of an early contact list to hold some workshops this winter. And hopefully have a focused scope in holding those workshops so that this issue, which can be kind of really broad and go in various directions, we kind of keep the scope somewhat focused. And our focus topics are on-site food. So typically, you know, wineries, breweries would like to have additional flexibility related to serving on-site food. Likewise with overnight accommodations, and then seasonal events and attractions, things like, you know, hay rides and pumpkin patches, and then some of those larger, agritourism focused events. So we have a survey, we've kind of developed that survey with some feedback from a couple of those early informants in, the agricultural community, in a matter of days, we hope to get that survey out to that contact list, and that will really help us focus and shape the content of those winter workshops that we'll be holding. Update on the Badger Canyon DNR property. So just to refresh your memory, there's a 269-acre property in Badger Canyon. It's currently owned by DNR. Kind of has some informal recreation that occurs there. And one of the outcomes of our open space analysis was suggesting that this property be transferred to the county to support recreation, non-motorized recreation like mountain biking, hiking, wildlife viewing. The county acted really quickly in putting together a DNR transfer application, getting really robust levels of public backing and level letters of support. A lot of interest groups, Evergreen Mountain Biking Group, really good community that came out behind that proposal. The application was submitted, and now we have up to a 2-year wait to hear about the conclusion of that process. And Greg, do you want to jump in with anything? Did I miss anything there?
No, we do have an opportunity here to submit additional applications and submit. We do have a couple more letters of support that have come in the last, I don't know, 60 days. I'll be talking to Ben Floyd this week, see if there's anything else that we can submit. And they do have a window until, I think, February where we can add to our application to try to beef it up and even make it better. And then certainly we had our ledge days with our legislators here in this room a couple weeks ago, kind of the kickoff to the legislative session. We had a good turnout with 6 or 7 of our local legislators, and we did broach this topic with them, so they're aware of it. But certainly next year, as we do our legislative kickoff with them, we'll probably do a presentation on this and really deep dive with them so they understand what's going on as we try to encourage them to work with DNR to transfer that property over to the county. So,
great. Thanks, Greg.
Mike,
sure.
Is there any discussion on the various user group potentially?
Not at this point.
Involvement?
No, you know, it's focusing right now on the county trying to transfer, you know, if the county does get it, to have one focus group essentially take over a lot of the management duties of the land, which would be that mountain biking group that we had talked about in the past. Mm. In terms of developing an actual use plan for the property, that'll come closer to when we find out if that property is going to get transferred to the county. But certainly will involve you and the planning commission members. And
I would like to.
I know. And you're familiar with the land, and that's perfect. And we appreciate that. And everybody's involvement in that process would be wonderful.
That kind of reminds me, going back to the 90s, when the baseball complex in Ferry County side, right, Pasco, the pro team, Duck Devils, right?
Yeah.
When that place was built, I went to a meeting over a city council meeting, whatever, over in Pasco. And before I could ever get involved, I was the president of the men's senior baseball.
Oh, okay.
League back then, and I played ball when I was old, not as old as I am now, but anyways, they had already allocated pretty much a bunch of the property around there to soccer fields. They'd already made the decision early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the city of Pasco.
Yeah. And they do have the, you know, the multi-use softball complex now, and I think some little league baseball goes on there. But I had a drawn up map for field, men's size baseball fields that could be multi-purpose too. Took 15 acres is what I had drawn up, that, and I presented it to them, and it was by that time too late.
Sure.
Because they'd already mapped it out for soccer, a bunch of it, right? And so I just don't want to be left in the weeds.
I get it.
On this.
Yeah. I think it's been pretty out front that, you know, mountain biking is going to be, you know, is going to take the primary use on that property, along with preservation and conservation. Mm-hmm. If there's an ability to create other uses, you know, I think that's something we can certainly.
I think it could be managed,
and that's, you know, that's good conversation. I think those are conversations we can have. So absolutely,
great. Okay, are we ready to move on?
Yes, sir.
All right. So the next update is EIS. As you may remember, we're doing a full programmatic EIS. The EIS will include three alternatives. Alternative one being the no action alternative. We don't do any of the things that we're suggesting. Alternative two is a higher growth scenario. It includes an expanded energy overlay and some additional growth projected in the rural community centers. For the most part, it's not alternative two. The version of alternative two that we've developed isn't like crazy by any means, but it is a little bit different and a little bit more expansive than alternative three, which is considered the preferred alternative, which includes more moderate growth, more moderate industrial land use changes, and a reduced energy overlay that is a little bit more protective of the most valuable agricultural lands and critical areas. And as I mentioned, we'll have a full draft EIS ready for review early spring, maybe even before that. But that's kind of the timeline we've set out.
And if I could just add to that, Adam, we will be having, we'll make sure we get all that stuff listed on the website so the public has opportunities to review all that and has an easy location to find it as we go through this process too.
Absolutely. And it'd be great. I know that Greg shared the meeting materials with all of you this evening, but just to know that you guys are able to find information about our progress and the documents that we've created. If folks have gone on the website and looked for those, have you been able to find those successfully? Just any quick feedback there on accessing documents, finding them.
Has the Planning Commission members, have you guys been onto our website at all by chance and seen any?
For
the comprehensive plan?
It's been a while.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll make sure that all the planning commission, Adam, we'll make sure all the Planning Commission members get links to that in case they wish to, as well as we'll be able to push it out to the public as well.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Next slide. Let's see if it'll, slide's not advancing for me here. There we go. Okay, we're going to dive into the land use element. And you guys got a copy of that. It was in sort of the track changes format that has all the comments and, you know, it's kind of butchered and redlined. But the reason for doing that is so that you can see what was original and what's been changed. And hopefully you were able to do that. The focus of most of those changes are related to the energy overlay analysis that we did and updated language about renewable energy siting, updates to industrial lands, which is supported by our industrial lands analysis and a memo, updated agricultural land designations, not significant changes by any means, but there was a 2018 memo where criteria was applied to do a comprehensive countywide review of ag land designations. We did an addendum to that memo, reapplying those criteria and doing an updated look at countywide designations kind of on the boundaries between ag lands and other land uses to see if there was a need to revise any of those designations. I mentioned agritourism. There are some call outs, both via comments and a few brief text mentions in that draft land use element related to agritourism. And then incorporating open space and open space analysis and memo that we put together. And one thing I really want to discuss with you and hopefully convey is that the changes that you see in the land use element of the comprehensive plan are supported by the analysis that we've done that I've mentioned, the energy overlay memo, the open space memo, the industrial lands memo, and that agricultural lands analysis addendum that I just mentioned. And the goal here is for all of these things to kind of fit together. And I put together this infographic hoping that that would, you'd kind of get that picture that these things all kind of interrelate with each other and inform each other. And for example, the open space memorandum where we prioritize the highest value and priority habitat and habitat corridors, that's factored in to where we've designated the proposed energy overlay. It's factored into the industrial land use changes that we're proposing. So all of these things fit together and are consistent with each other, even though they come at land use from various perspectives. And then the tools, some of the tools we have to sort of provide early implementation of some of the work that we've done in the land use analysis. So we've identified priority open space and open space corridors. We have developed a draft open space taxation program that would allow property owners to achieve a lowered tax rate for property with high open space values. So things that are in habitat corridors that have certain critical areas that have shrub steppe habitat. We've created kind of a ranking and scoring framework in collaboration with some folks from the assessor's office to create a draft program to incentivize preservation of open space. We mentioned, and you've seen the Badger Canyon DNR property that's prioritized open space acquisition. We've developed our shrub steppe mitigation program, and then we're working on agritourism. So those are kind of some of the early ways we're implementing some of the analysis that we've done. So with that as the background for what has driven our changes in land use designations, this map shows you a summary of what we're proposing to change as far as land use. And this, I'm just going to show you the alternative three, kind of the moderate growth, what we envision as the preferred scenario. It includes 744 acres changed from GMA agriculture to rural industrial. That is all land that is directly adjacent to the Plymouth Industrial Park. It is largely already used for industrial purposes. It supports ongoing industrial use at that site, which is supportive of the larger agricultural economy and agricultural land use in sort of the broader GMA agricultural zone. So we think overall it is it's compatible with the existing industrial land use at the site, and it concentrates industrial use where there's already infrastructure to support it rather than allowing that sort of agri-industrial use to proliferate out in the broader GMA ag zone. We also have 85 acres of GMA ag going to rural commercial. That is just adjacent to that same site in Plymouth. And it is a split zone parcel that is mostly rural commercial. So we would just be conforming to the majority land use designation of that parcel. And then there's 240 acres, mostly around Prosser. There's another 25 acres, just one parcel in Finley. Those were properties that were identified in our agricultural lands review as being more better suited to rural remote land use that is more characterized by urban growth patterns or just more intensive growth, not necessarily urban growth, but kind of your rural housing.
And so I'm going to interrupt you for 1 minute, just for the Planning Commission's information, if in case you don't remember, rural remote, the implementation zoning for that is RL5, which you might be more familiar with. So in this case, it would be some lands that through our ag land study, we determined aren't really ag lands anymore and should, for numerous reasons, as outlined in our ag land study, they meet the criteria to move into the RL5.
Right. Thanks, Greg. Okay. We also have 45 acres up around Prosser going from rural industrial to rural remote or RL5. Similar reasoning, it's land that was designated industrial to support a specific industrial use that was ongoing on the parcel, which no longer exists. So the properties surrounding it and on the subject properties are more of that rural housing, rural RL5 type character. So just compatibility with surrounding uses. And then the 367 acres from rural industrial to public. This is also down in Plymouth, right along the shoreline. It's Port and Army Corps owned property. So it's already in public ownership. It is unlikely to support industrial use, just given it's in shoreline jurisdiction. It's got some shrub step on it. It has potential cultural resource. There would be potential cultural resource impacts if it were to be developed. So just made more sense to move that to public. And then lastly, we have 457 acres of rural remote going into open space or public designation. And that encompasses the DNR property. So that 269 acres that we've discussed, a 160 acre BLM property directly adjacent to that DNR property, and then 37 acres that is also in BLM ownership that is adjacent to Candy Mountain. And then we have the energy overlay. So that's the other major component of the suggested land use changes under this preferred alternative. And let me just walk you through this map for a second. So what you see in the blue outline are the boundaries of existing projects proposed through the FSEC process. So those are projects that are already potentially occurring, are in various stages of permitting and review. And the blue dots that you see, those are proposed wind turbine locations. The yellow dots are existing wind turbines. What you see in green and pink, that is the area that we are proposing as an energy overlay zone. Within that, there would be both a prohibited, which would be the green, and a conditionally permitted zone. So there's a zone one and a zone two within the energy overlay. Everything that is outside of that, so everything in white, is essentially not part of the energy overlay, is subject to the existing county regulations, which only permit major solar and wind facilities in the industrial zones. So in that zone one, the prohibited zone of the energy overlay, energy development would be restricted to existing disturbed sites, rooftops, parking areas. So pretty limited exceptions that allow energy development. In zone two, larger scale renewable energy development would require a conditional use permit. So it would still be subject to a rigorous land use review process, SEPA checklist, and public comment, all those things. But there would be a path forward for permitting energy development within that zone two. The location of zone two was determined on the same criteria we use to designate agricultural lands of long-term significance. So soil type, designation of prime farmlands, soil classes. So those there's a 1 through 8 capability classes, irrigated and non-irrigated production. And so the conditionally permitted areas are areas that have lower soil suitability. And then it is also designed to optimize areas that have both lower suitability soils and less protected agricultural lands and less intersect with sensitive critical areas. So that's kind of the background on how we arrived at this map. You can see kind of the acreages there within this alternative and how much is in critical areas and how much isn't. Kind of by nature, when you avoid the really high productivity, irrigated, high suitability agricultural soils, that pushes you onto areas that have a lot of critical areas overlap. So it's a really difficult question to answer. Where do you put this stuff? But where we've arrived, subject to further input, we've gotten some comments from Fish and Wildlife and from some folks in the environmental community, but we're still working under this as the likely scenario.
If I could interject in that too, this is a study I think that, you know, we wish we had done a few years ago, prior to FSEC and all the large scale projects that came into the county. This is a really thorough evaluation that's specific to Benton County, which is great. And it's based upon our, you know, preservation of our ag lands and our critical areas. And so those areas are in pink, the ability to place a large commercial facility is going to be pretty limited in those areas based upon the criteria. And so you wouldn't see another large scale facility really. There could be opportunities in there, but the critical areas in the landscape, it's going to make it really, really difficult. And plus then it would have to go through a conditional use permit, which is, you know, going to allow public opportunity to review it and have a public process, which is really important, which we found out through the ESSEC process was pretty much non-existent. So, I think this is a study that we wish we had done, you know, back in 2018 in the last comp plan update. So we're happy to have this done. So it gives us at least a foundation to work from. This will be something that we can take if this is something the Planning Commission is okay with us moving forward with. We'll take it to the Board of County Commissioners and see where they're at with it. So it'll be also good this year to have this out to the public, and the public will have an opportunity to review it and look at it too. And so there'll be a lot of ability to comment on it.
Okay. So some more detail on the industrial land use changes. So this is just kind of zoomed in on Plymouth, just to show where we're proposing those designation changes. You can see, so the areas kind of surrounding to the north, east and west of the existing industrial park, those are what are being proposed for change from GMA Ag to rural industrial. Like I mentioned, a good portion of those lands already support industrial uses. You have a natural facility over on the western boundary of that 261 acre parcel. You have a number of large buildings and processing facilities on that 158 acre parcel. And then on the 325 acre parcel, we found that there's relatively limited agricultural viability on those parcels currently, and supported expansion of industrial use in the industrial park was a more viable use there. And then to the south along the river, you have 306 acres that is coming out of industrial and going into public. So those are those publicly owned parcels with shoreline and habitat functions that would be permanently protected. Oh, I'm sorry, a little quick there. Okay. Just a quick visual on the ag lands analysis. So if you look to Plymouth, you'll see those parcels flagged in red. So I mentioned earlier, we did a countywide analysis looking at the criteria in the law for designation of agricultural lands of long-term significance, applied those criteria and kind of a systematic step-by-step process. And that process, the series of steps went, first we took parcels that were on the fringes of the GMA zone. So we didn't look into the interior, but we looked at parcels that were bordering other zones. And then we looked both irrigated and non-irrigated soil capability class as rated by NRCS, and what the majority capability class was within a given parcel. And then if parcels met both of those criteria, we looked at whether it had, at least 50% of the property wasn't overlapping with critical areas. Then we did parcel by parcel comparison of what the surrounding land use patterns were, whether those properties were surrounded by patterns of more intensive growth. We came to a relatively limited of parcels that we thought were appropriate for designation changes. So all the bright green ones are ones that met the first set of criteria, but we determined weren't characterized by more intensive growth. The agriculture was the most compatible land use based on what was surrounding. And then the really bright red stuff is stuff that we suggested changing to another designation, industrial in the case of Plymouth, and mostly RL5, rural remote, which would be RL5, to the few that are around Prosser and really just one parcel in Findlay. And then just quick note on open space. I think we went into open space in more detail in a previous meeting, so I won't go too long, but our inventory of both open space corridors within in urban growth areas and then countywide networks of open space are informing each of these other analyses. So, and the EIS. So just something to keep in mind that we have identified and prioritized these open space corridors and are factoring them into the recommendations we're making for industrial lands, for the energy overlay, and for the EIS, and really all of our decision making is factoring in open space and preservation of habitat and sort of those broader open space networks. Just a refresher, I showed this table at the beginning, so I'm showing it at the end, just so you can, you know, you've seen kind of what went into this now, and now you're seeing it again. With that, I think my next slide is questions. Yeah, so I know that was a lot to throw at you, the rest of this meeting, I think, can be a little back and forth, but I'll stay on this slide. And feel free to ask questions about any of these designation changes.
Anybody have any questions for the out of the planning commission?
I do have a recommendation for Adam. While I was back looking at the greenhouse gas emissions tables, the font in the table headline, the blues don't separate very well. Consider using a much lighter blue in the font, or white, or just change the colors.
I'll go ahead and answer that. That was done by a different consulting company. We had a different, we did a regional grant and had a different consultant do the climate change data for us. And so then we took some of that and are incorporating it into the comp plan, but, just that might've been a carryover from some of that from the other consultant too, but certainly if it is something that, that we can control, on this end as we move forward, we certainly will.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you could point out, and maybe you could point it out to Greg there in the room. But just where that specific table is, so we can.
Yeah, maybe after the meeting, you can show me specifically where that. Do you have that with you tonight? Yeah. Okay, yeah. After the meeting, show that to me, and we'll.
Sure.
Okay.
So, was there going to be any industrial ground proposed by Locust Grove intersection of I-82 and 395?
No.
Nope.
I didn't see it on the maps, and
I was
thinking that was something that was in the works.
That was not been part of the conversations, and it did not meet the criteria that we had when we, to be consistent, when we looked across the board on which lands could be removed from GMA Ag and which ones couldn't. Those did not meet the criteria.
Understanding that they did have city utilities, there was access to sewer, that kind of thing.
No, that city sewer and city utilities aren't even close to there. No, just because of the, I mean, that would be an expansion outside of an urban growth area, and their urban growth area is a long ways away from there.
Other questions?
I don't think so. There's nobody else online that has any questions, it looks like.
Okay. If folks have a chance to read the land use element text that Greg shared, and any questions relevant to any of the text there, and I'm happy to bring that text up on my screen as well.
And I can just say, you know, I think this was a good opportunity tonight. We wanted to, with the beginning of the new year, to kind of refresh and bring some of this stuff back that we maybe touched on this last year, and just kind of get that back in front of you. Just as we move forward this year, you're going to see a lot of this over and over and over again in some aspects, hopefully. But we just wanted to kind of kick off the new year with kind of bringing these and kind of encapsulating it into one meeting so you could kind of see the highlights as we move forward.
This is a lot to digest.
It is. we were busy last year putting together a lot of information, and you know, we shared a lot of that as we went along with you and the public, and it'll be good to kind of get it out and start moving the process forward this year. So we're excited. We're doing some cool things. I'm excited about it. So
great. Okay, well, if we're done with this, the remainder of what I have to say to you is it's not in a PowerPoint. It is just within the document that was set out. And I'm going to share my screen again. You all got a copy of the goals and policies. I'm going to share a non-marked up version, just so we can walk through just a couple of those. And the ones I wanted to get any feedback on were the climate resilience and GHG related goals and policies. So I know Greg mentioned this is largely a refresher for you all and an opportunity to kind of prime your brains to dive into this deeper. Okay, if we don't get too in depth here, but this is just a totally new set of goals and policies. So we wanted to get your feedback early on what you see here. And I'm happy to just kind of scroll through each of these goals and the corresponding policies.
Hey, Adam, just so you know, yeah. I think your internet connection is really poor tonight. So you're going in and out. And and I don't know that if you're sharing the others, your screen, we're not able to see it right now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Are you sharing?
I am. Yep. Okay. Let me try again. Okay, now PowerPoint, probably. Okay,
give it a minute. It's saying you're sharing content, but it doesn't want to pop up.
Okay.
It might just be their connection just as slow.
Because you're really blurry. We noticed that with the internet connection when we met the other day, too. So it might be that we just, with that, if you're what did you have any other topics other than climate tonight to share?
No, really just okay. For folks to and we don't have to go through any of the text, just if they had feedback on the climate element and specifically the goals and policies related to climate.
Okay. I don't know at this point the Planning Commission has had an opportunity to probably look too closely. Have you guys had an opportunity to really look at the climate stuff yet? Yeah. So how about we plan to do that one at a future meeting, and we'll
sounds good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We can either next month or we can dive into that one. We threw a lot of information at them tonight, so, and you did a great job, and we were very appreciative. That was a good summary.
Good. Well, hopefully the connection wasn't too bad. I'm happy to circle back if somebody missed anything, and talking to you from the great white north. Here north of Spokane, and if it weren't for winter weather and icy conditions, I'd come down and talk to you in person, and hope to do that in the future.
Adam's up by is it Chihuahua?
Yeah,
okay,
it's my stomping grounds.
Yeah, I figured you'd enjoy that. Adam, nice. Adam loves it, he loves it up there.
I do too.
Yeah,
he's born in Colville.
Okay.
My dad graduated from Chihuahua High School.
Nice. Well, I've been here about 10 years, but no complaints. Would like a little bit more snow right now.
Yeah.
Ski hill, but.
Well, we appreciate your time tonight, Adam. Thank you very much. And if the Planning Commission doesn't have any more questions for Adam, we'll let him get going, and then we will we'll reconvene on some of these topics at future meetings.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Brittany, you'll be sending us lots of information, right?
Yes. Yes, I will. Yep, I'll be sending you some good stuff here probably pretty soon.
Yeah.
Seem to be working pretty good for me.
Yeah. I usually do both. Either some can just click on the PDFs and some just like using the link. So I'm just like, here's both versions. Do with it as what you need to. So I'll continue to share links going forward for things as well. So all right.
I don't think
nope, so. There's no other scheduled business. And if there's no more questions, you're free to close the workshop meeting.
Well, with that, thank you, Adam. And we're going to go ahead and close the meeting.
Great.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thanks, Adam. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Night, guys.